Iran says the fake U.S. human rights report against Iran is aimed to exert more pressure on Tehran. The UN says the death toll among Iraqis from violence in April hit its highest level since 2008. Russia sends experts team to investigate chemical weapons use in Syria. Venezuela's newly elected president warns Europe of political explosions due to growing economic tensions. An Afghan president calls for the closure of the U.S. Guantanamo Bay prison in Cuba and the release of Afghan detainees. In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful, hello and welcome. I'm Ali Reza Madadi with the latest coming to you live from Tehran. First of all, Iran's judiciary head says the U.S. State Department's fake human rights report against Iran is simply aimed to exert more pressure on Tehran. Ayatollah Sadegh Amoli Larijani said the issue of human rights is a tool for Western countries to use against other countries which do not accept their principles. He added that Iran's resistance against the U.S. over the past 30 years is the source of the human rights allegations leveled by the Western countries, particularly the U.S., against the Islamic Republic. Amoli Larijani said Iran is being accused of not observing human rights while it has been holding one election every year on average since the victory of the Islamic Revolution. However, the judiciary had stated that there is no word on human rights violations in Bahrain, where people are fighting for their right to vote. In its annual human rights report released in April, the U.S. State Department accused Iran as well as some other countries of restricting their people's human rights. Now, the death toll among Iraqis from violence in April hit its highest level in more than 5 years. The United Nations said in a statement on Thursday that the month of April was the deadliest since June 2008. A total of 712 people were killed and some 1,633 were wounded in acts of terrorism and acts of violence across the country. The statement further said Baghdad was the worst affected governorate with a total of 697 civilian casualties, followed by Diyala, Salah ad-Din, Kirkuk, Nineveh, and Anbar. Now elsewhere in the Middle East and in Syria, armed rebels fired mortar shells at a 68-year-old footbridge in the eastern Deir al-Zur province, destroying it completely. The bridge was considered a historical site as it was built in 1927 during the French Mandate. Meantime, in the country's east, the state media reported the advancement of government forces in the rebellious areas in the suburb of Ghouta. Also, clashes erupted between the Turkish police and some Syrian rebels who attempted to enter Turkey illegally, leaving at least seven Turks injured. According to rebels, the Syrian militants were waiting on the Syrian side for a long time, attempting to cross the border, a move rejected by the Turkish side. The Syrian fighters then set a Turkish police station on fire and clashed with the policemen. More security forces were deployed to the region to suppress the tension. Meantime, Russian Foreign Minister Sergey Lavrov said in a news conference in Hungary on Thursday that Moscow insists on the satisfaction of the Syrian request to send a group of experts to investigate the specific reported case of chemical weapons use which took place in mid-March in the vicinity of Aleppo.
Mid-March, in the vicinity of the city of Aleppo, there was a case of alleged use of chemical weapons or chemical substances, which has been reported by the Syrian government to the Secretary General of the United Nations. And the Syrian government asked the Secretary General to deploy a team to investigate this particular situation. The Secretary General stated that he is ready to do this, but a couple of days later he sent a letter to the Syrian government demanding a nexus for the international experts to all territory, to the entire territory of Syria, as well as access to any site and any person this team would like to talk to or to visit. And this is something which really defeats the purpose of immediate and thorough investigation into a specific reported case of the use of chemical substances.
Now, Venezuela's newly elected president Nicolas Maduro has warned Europe of a risk of political explosion because of the growing economic tensions. Maduro said on Thursday he saw echoes of the 1990s Latin America in Europe's ongoing economic crisis. Referring to the improving ties with the United States, Maduro said his country wants to move forward a relationship that can be positive. But at the same time, he hit out at US President Barack Obama, saying that Obama smiles, but he bums all the same. Maduro added that the US President Obama just put forward merely a different image from his ex-president George W. Bush. Now, the Afghan president has called for the closure of the U.S. Guantanamo Bay prison in Cuba and the release of Afghan detainees at the complex. Hamid Karzai on Thursday said Kabul has been in contact with the U.S. for a couple of years regarding the release of Afghan prisoners. The United States holds 166 men at the prison. Some 130 detainees have been on hunger strike since February 6th.
Well, we have been in contact with the U.S. government for now a number of years on the return of those Afghans to Afghanistan. We've also put in applications through the U.N. system for removing them from the U.N. sanctions list. So this is an issue that we have been engaged with the United States and the U.N. for a long time. And we want the return of those prisoners as soon as possible to Afghanistan. As far as the current hunger strike there is concerned, I hope it will be resolved soon, and I hope that the U.S. government will apply all the proper standards of humanitarian considerations and behavior.
Now, Afghan officials say 8 policemen have been killed in a bomb attack in eastern province of Logar. A provincial deputy police chief said a police vehicle hit an IED in which 8 local policemen were killed and their pickup truck was totally destroyed. Taliban claimed responsibility for the assault. Meantime, Afghan authorities announced on the same day that 11 Taliban militants were killed in U.S. airstrikes on the country's western Farah province. In other news, hundreds of protesters took to the streets in Afghanistan's capital city of Kabul to express their outrage at the presence of U.S.-led foreign forces in the country. Angry demonstrators on Thursday strongly condemned the U.S. for killing innocent Afghan civilians in its airstrikes, as well as for planning to establish permanent bases in the country. Now, many U.S. citizens believe that the threat from homegrown terrorists is much graver than that of militant groups such as Al-Qaeda. According to a recent opinion poll by the French Institute of Public Opinion, 51% of the U.S. people deem domestic terrorist entities more dangerous than Al-Qaeda. The study also indicated that 12% of the respondents expressed greater fears of the Al-Qaeda-like groups, while 11% could not make up their minds between the two. And now a recap of our top stories. Iran says the fake U.S. human rights report against Iran is aimed to exert more pressure on Tehran. The UN says the death toll among Iraqis from violence in April hit its highest level since 2008. Russia sends experts team to investigate chemical weapons use in Syria. Venezuela's newly elected president warns Europe of political explosions due to growing economic tensions. And Afghan president calls for the closure of the U.S. Guantanamo Bay prison in Cuba and the release of Afghan detainees. Saudi activists have staged a demonstration to voice their anger at the Al-Saud regime's violent crackdown on peaceful protesters in the kingdom's eastern province. Demonstrators took to the streets on Thursday in a rally organized by the Saudi Liberal Youth Movement against the brutal acts of security forces in the Al-Awamiya village. The protesters chanted the slogans against the Saudi regime and condemned its clampdown on political activists. They also demanded the right to hold protests and have freedom of expression. The latest street rally comes after Saudi security forces shot and arrested 2 anti-government activists in Al-Awamiya on Monday. Now in Europe, the European Central Bank, or the ECB, has cut interest rates to record low of 0.5% in an effort to prevent the Eurozone from falling into deeper recession. The ECB lowered its key interest rate by a quarter percentage point on Thursday for the first time in 10 months. The decision came as the ECB's governing council gathered in the Slovak capital. The council was under pressure to cut interest rates in order to help the flagging economy of the Eurozone. The move also came in response to rising unemployment in the 17-nation bloc. Europe plunged into financial crisis in early 2008. Insolvency now threatens heavily debt-ridden countries such as Greece, Portugal, Italy, Ireland, and Spain. Now, the 2011 Somali famine killed approximately 258,000 people, half of them age 5 and under. According to a new report, the number more than doubles previous death toll estimates and comes as officials warn that food insecurity still threatens over a million people in Somalia. In mid-2011, Somalia struggled with a deadly famine that claimed the lives of thousands and displaced millions of others inside and outside the war-torn country.
The Food Security Nutrition and Analysis Unit of FAO for Somalia and the Famine Early Warning System Network, FUSNET of USAID, jointly commissioned a study to look at the death toll associated with the 2011 famine event, and the result has just been published, made public today. This study indicates that 258,000, approximately 258,000 people died as a result of severe food insecurity and famine. There are still over a million people in Somalia in April of 2013 that are in a situation of food security crisis, an emergency, that still require humanitarian assistance. And it's important that both the immediate short-term needs of these populations and also the long-term development assistance is addressed. But at the root of all of this problem is, of course, the ongoing conflict in Somalia, which fuels the crisis, the food crisis, but also impedes humanitarian access. It makes it difficult for humanitarian access to provide assistance in a timely and meaningful way.
Now, a 5-year-old U.S. boy playing with a rifle given to him as a gift has shot and killed his 2-year-old sister. The rifle had been given to the boy last year and was kept in the corner of a room. It was the second fatal shooting involving minors in America this week. On Monday, a 5-year-old girl in a remote Alaska community was shot and killed by her 8-year-old brother. The U.S. has been embroiled in a heated debate over gun control in the wake of a December shooting at a school in Newtown, Connecticut that killed 26 young children and educators.
At this time, we're still under investigation. I'd rather not say at this time, but you know, it was just one single gunshot wound. The whole community is just absolutely devastated from this. I hope the outcome of this, what we can learn from this tragic situation is gun safety. Let's make sure as parents and grandparents, whatever, that we keep our guns, away. And
I'm completely heartbroken, as is the whole community. The whole community is in shock.
Well, that's it for me now. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. Goodbye for now.